Now let's start with 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. We want to talk a little bit more about this wisdom that I think it's wise that we register in our minds not to no longer just think in terms of God's way of thinking as his wisdom, although the scriptures definitely use that. But the word logos is identifying it more as the way that he thinks. It is his logic. It is his logic as opposed to the world's logic. And these are familiar scriptures, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6 through 8. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, and the word perfect there, of course, means mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. So we speak of wisdom, but it's not what the world is speaking. If you could say, we speak a logic that is not logical to the world. Does that help? We speak a logic that is not logical, and is not logical to the world. That God and the Savior of the whole world would come down here instead of killing everybody else. God bless you. Take this. Be blessed. That was so Buddy Brooks right there. that there is a logic of this world, and that, you know what that is, and you know where it came from, though. And he's gonna point that out in these scriptures. He's going to bring that in to let you know and let me know that he's talking about something that took place before we were created. So, verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Okay? The wisdom of God in a mystery. Now, I think that the average deeper life student or teacher will automatically equate that phrase to the wisdom of God in a mystery, and the mystery is Christ in you. Well, that's true, but it's Christ in you to offset the enemy and his logic. Okay? So there's more to it than just your basic deeper life type approach. And I will say that I think, you know, and I'm the one introducing most of you to deeper life, but I will say that I think that it can, there's nothing wrong with it, but I think that it can make you stop. In other words, you're on the journey and then you leave the charismatic church or the Baptist church or the whatever. You leave that and then you go into the charismatic movement and then you go, you know, and then you get to a certain place where you hear about the deeper life, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, and, you know, on and on and on. The cross, and we are crucified with Christ. But if we camp there, it's no longer a journey. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you camp there, it's no longer a journey. You're just staying there. And it's like, it would be the same as anybody just sticking in the Baptist church or being, you know, charismatics or whatever, and camping on that front. We folks need to keep growing up in him in all things, who is the head. That's what the scriptures say. We need that. And if we don't have that, then we are going to stagnate. You know, an example I haven't used in years and years and years, but it's the example of the Jordan River. And the Jordan River is coming from, I forget the name of the mountain. Somebody knows it right off. But anyway, and there has snow on it, and it melts, and it just keeps, though, the Jordan River flowing, and it never stagnates. But the Dead Sea has no outlets. It has nothing that keeps it flowing. It just takes in but it just makes everything dead. And there is nothing living in the Dead Sea. So we need to keep taking in and giving out. Okay? So with that in mind, I've asked Mallory if she would come and share. And these things are very, I just cannot express, at least from my heart, how important these folks that are going to be coming to share with you, they are very, very important for several reasons. One most important one is God has touched them in their heart in relationship to this. And they know, they may not know the fullness yet. I don't know it. But they know that this is a huge thing to God. And so please be attentive to them when they come up here to share. Mallory, if you would.
This is the ProSelf devotional. We sent out those devotionals a year or more ago. And this one is titled, How Much Have We Seen? Oh, ProSelf spirit, a whole world wrapped up in our advantage or our disadvantage. Will this build an impressive kingdom for me? We search for an audience daily to indoctrinate. Oh, look how great I am. Tell me how great I am. This is what I deserve. Yet, if one should not bow, this evil beast rises even higher, plotting evil to crucify those who might not bend their knee. Oh, heart, stop. Can't you see? You need a change. The emphasis to move to him from me. Christ revealed in you. It's when he is revealed, a genuine revelation, not settling for inspired teaching to mislead, just the real one, the living one, Christ himself. Oh Lord, keep us from self-deception, a deception that comes from so deep a heart desire to see, but sadly satisfied by a revelation of Christ, and not Christ revealed in me. With such deficiency in us to free the Lamb spirit, we must ask then, how much have we truly seen? O Lord, how much is truly you? And for further study is Philippians 2, 1 through 9, and especially verse 3, which says, considering others better than yourselves.
So that's the contrast of the wisdom of God compared to the wisdom of the Lamb. The wisdom of God is that he sent his best, meaning he gave up his best. He sent his only begotten Son. The Son whom thou lovest. And he did that for people who had been on the earth for a good while and had been infiltrated with the logic of this world or the logic of Satan or the wisdom of this world, whatever words you want to use, as long as you understand where it came from and the influence of it on you and on me. And Jesus came down in the midst of it, and they appeared to receive him at times and then turned on him. And the disciples seemed to be with him, but when under the pressure of being with him, not as a disciple walking beside him or as a disciple in a church that is a Christian, but as one who is going to, who wants and desires to fellowship with him on the deepest levels of his heart at whatever cost to us. But that's a completely different thing than Satan's wisdom. Amen? I mean, that is completely different. And we read that again in in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. And we see the pro-self. We see the self-exalting. We see the way of this world. It's so obvious now. I mean, I don't know that 50 years ago or, you know, let me go 75 years ago. It was a simpler time, wasn't it? It's a simpler time, and you didn't have the internet so that everybody could get on there and go, no, I'm greater than they are. You know? You didn't have that. And, you know, you could live in a little town and you could work the town so that you'd be the greatest there. You know? But now it's so prevalent or so obvious based on technology, although I do believe that it has really jumped when the internet came about, so that the one thing, you know, David said, one thing have I desired, to dwell in your house, to be with you. The one thing that you basically hear from all of them is, look at me. I know there's a lot of special people out there, but I'm more special, you know. And so much declaring of yourself. And so Jesus, not during this time, but Jesus comes down into a world that had that, particularly the Pharisees, the priests, the religious facilities and how they functioned is not dissimilar to today. It's not. And everybody's trying to climb the thing, and you know, somebody like Jesus comes along who is not worthy, because who is this guy? He's a carpenter. And who is this guy? Well, he's, you know, he doesn't dress like us, or, you know. However, it would blow some of their minds when Jesus would speak, because they would go, where does he get this wisdom from? Ah, wisdom. Look at his first Sermon on the Mount. Everything about it is, you know, turn the other cheek, and, you know, if they take your coat, give them your cloak also, and stuff that does not make sense to the logic of this world. In fact, it looks stupid, or can we use a better word, a scripture word? Foolish. The wisdom of this world, they look at it as foolish. But God looks at their wisdom as foolish. Isn't that something? That he sees that. He sees all that and he goes, this is just foolishness. He's not even threatened by it. You know why? Because there will be those somewhere in every generation, somebody or many somebodies or a few somebodies that will, the Spirit of God will open their eyes to the logic of God. And they will begin to understand the Godhead. And they will understand that before the world was, these three entities were God. But they were one. And they were one in spirit, and they were one in wisdom. And we'll get into good old John 1:1 here someday, but it's good stuff. All right, so we're still in 1 Corinthians 2, and we're talking about even the hidden wisdom. And that's where I got off on this, was the hidden wisdom is that, you know, you would want to give up things for others that didn't deserve it. That you would want to do that. That's not only hidden wisdom, it's not only foolishness, It is the wisdom and power of God. It is. It is. And so we speak wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. But this is the wisdom God ordained. This logic of God. That's it. You can learn the Baptist way. You can learn the Methodist way. You can learn the Catholic way. You can learn the... I'm trying to think of the... Well, the Mormons. You can learn the Mormon way. You can learn all these, you know, or you pick one. And you go, well, this one suits me. Oh, my God. Could that be pro-self? You know, I don't want that one or that one or that one. This one suits me. They're one of the most famous things people say is, well, everybody's nice to me there. Well, you know, yeah. I would like that for a change. Just kidding. but there has to be more to it than the initial show. There has to be a life laid down. There has to be a church built on this logic, this revelation. And God, therefore, really is in charge and really is will take care of everything. All right, so he ordained this wisdom before the world. I mean, before the world means before you. Yeah, it means before you and anybody in your family and anybody that breathes like a human. This wisdom. It was ordained in the heart of God. This is what I want you to have. This is it. You go, well, you know, I learned the deeper life truths of, you know, being crucified with Christ and everything. You know, and he's going, well, that's great. You know, but see, I just got this stirring in me. This portion right here that I'm talking about. It's just stirring in me. It moves me. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, that's a statement and a half. They don't know this logic of God. And if you tried to explain it to them, they wouldn't get it. Why? Because they're pro-self. Why? Because their master, the first one, Satan... that was his whole thing. Again, he didn't rebel against God and say, you know, I think I'm going to start this new thing called witchcraft. That wasn't even mentioned for a long time in the Bible. But that's how we categorize Satan, most Christians, in some level of that. Whereas Paul is saying there is a wisdom, there's a logic that God ordained that each of you lived by before the world even started. Before the world even started. And which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So I wrote, if they knew that the... Well, maybe you'll get some of this. I hope you don't. If they knew that the upside down was the power of God and the wisdom of God, they would not have armed him with his highest weapons, which was death on the cross. Should I read it again? You know, sometimes I'll say something or read something, and I look out at y'all, and there's this big question mark over your head. It's like, and I'm going, should I read this again? All right. If they knew, you don't need this little part here, but if they knew the upside down was the power of God, meaning what is the exact opposite of what they think is how it ought to go, if they knew that, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. If they knew that this was the power of God, death, selflessness, totally giving yourself for someone who doesn't deserve it at all, if they knew that that was the power of God and the wisdom or the logic of God, they would not have armed Jesus with his highest weapon, which was death on the cross. If they knew that self-giving to such a degree was the power of God, they wouldn't have said, well, let's bring in his weapons, you know. Let's beat him up and let's slap him and let's do all of this stuff. And that was every ounce the wisdom of God, the logic of God at work in the Son of God. Is that Buddy Ray? I got to meet Buddy Ray today. Yeah, well, I'll drink to that. Let me take this. All right. Trust me, when the Lord first started sharing this with me, I didn't like it. Why? Because it sounded so the opposite of what I had been taught. Because it seemed, and I've said this before, but there's some way that we can see Jesus do this and totally the Son of God, God himself, come down here and let wicked men mistreat and beat and then kill him. And that's what saved me. And we can just embrace the fool out of that. But when the thought is that, oh, by the way, this is the logic of God. By the way, this is how God thinks. This is the logic of God. And that's why Jesus said, turn the other cheek and do da-da-da-da and do all this kind of stuff. And I mean, it's overwhelming, the things that he says. And Paul gets into them. You know, Paul a lot of times will have some theology at the front of one of his letters. But invariably, once he gets a third of the way into writing on it, it's all about this spirit. We think it's all about these things as Christianity. You know, this is what Christianity is. I wish. You know, I wish this was what Christianity is. Laying down your life, giving up everything for Jesus and but not just for Jesus, because we seem to be able to go, okay, yeah, yeah. But, you know, the worst people, the people that, you know, maybe are of another color or another generation or another whatever, another religion. Jesus died for whosoever will. Do you realize that? For whosoever will in all of the people of the earth, no matter what color, no matter what religion, no matter what, he died for all of them. And then he poured himself into them because he wanted this logic to become universal. Because there was already a logic that was universal, but it wasn't God's. Yeah. Is that first fall? All right, so I wrote down what was hidden about God's logic to the devil and to us. Okay, well, I just sort of explained that, but I wonder if anybody could sort of just spit that back out to me. What was hidden about God's logic? What was hidden to the devil and to us about God's logic? What was the hidden element of it? Kelly, come on. Yeah. If this isn't right.
I just had a little thing. Just what you said, that the very way the enemy thought he was defeating the Son of God, or is the very weapons that was giving the Lamb the victory, because his logic was so hidden that the very things he was doing to kill him were the very things that were bringing forth his defeat.
What? Talking about the devil, I hope, right? It was a tool of his own destruction. Well, in that sense, Jesus was too. I mean, they would never have gotten him if he hadn't released that in the Spirit to the Father and therefore into their hands. Hallelujah. Even so, if you don't have that Lamb wisdom and power, then the only other way to look righteous is to seek to be greater and higher while you pierce others by pointing out the faults of other people. Of course, this is what the accuser of the brethren does to everyone else while ignoring his own faults, right? How about I read it again? Okay. Was it hidden from you? Just kidding. Okay, here we go. Even so, if you don't have that Lamb wisdom, meaning the logic of God, that Lamb wisdom and power, because 1 Corinthians chapter 1 describes it, spells it out, that this is the wisdom and the power of God. Lamb wisdom and power, then the only other way to look righteous is to seek to be greater and higher while you pierce others by pointing out the faults of other people. And then I said, of course, this is what the accuser does to everyone else while ignoring his own failures. And doesn't he? The accuser. I don't mind doing this. I really do. About the piercing part? Oh. Okay. So you're trying to just copy the words down? Is that what we're doing? Okay. Now I understand. Even so, comma. If you don't have that Lamb wisdom and power, then the only other way to look righteous is to seek to be greater and higher, comma, I guess, while you pierce, and that pierce I had it in parentheses, while you pierce others by pointing out the faults of other people. And then the last sentence has to do with the accuser of the brethren. Are y'all ready?
Yes.
Do you need me to read the one I just read? Okay. Of course, this is what the accuser does to everyone else while ignoring his own failures. Now, folks, is that not something of pro-self? That you would accuse everybody else of their faults, and maybe they really have faults, but you ignore your own. You're pretty violent. Maybe that's not the right word. But you're pretty vehement against lack of justice or something in them or whatever. But you don't see it when it's at work in you. Okay? Well, that's pro-self. Or Satan's logic. Where did that logic come from? Satan. Some of you got that. Anyway. All right. By the way, if at any point there's something that you would like me to send you, I'll be glad to do it. The whole thing that I've done so far. All right, you're fired. Get out. Just kidding. Just kidding. All right. So this is elements that make him a piercing serpent. This is John 8, verse 43 and 44. And I think we'll be coming around to John 8 several times as we move along here. All right, John 8, 43 through 44. This is Jesus talking to the people and to the Pharisees. Why do you not understand my speech? Now, he's being sincere. He's not trying to make him look stupid. He's being sincere. Why do you... And I think that he's trying to make them think because of the words that he says after this. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Why? Somebody tell me. It's the wrong logic. And they understand the wisdom of this world. They don't understand the logic of God. And he's pointing that out. He's trying to say, he's not saying you're bad. He's saying you don't understand because your wisdom's wrong. All right. Verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil. Well, that's not very nice, right? Or is it? Is it at least factual? Eternally? Or certainly, you know, when Satan turned... ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. And understanding, of course, that the word lust is the desires. I want to be greater. I want people to honor me or love me or, you know, compliment my weird eyes or something, you know. It's like, that ain't going to happen, dude. Okay, so... the desires of your father. Do you see what Jesus is saying? He's not saying you fell in the Garden of Eden and you became sinners, and being a sinner is what the whole thing is about, and you just need forgiveness. He's bumping heads here with the real cause and the real thing. He is pointing it out, you know, and people read that and they go, well, gosh, Jesus seems kind of harsh here, you know, you're of your father the devil. I mean, just say kind words to me, you know. Well, what?
I said, call it like it is.
Yeah. Well, and it's even more than call it like it is. Thank God it's more than that. I mean, yes, but it is Jesus trying to get across how serious pro-self is above just regular sins. Amen?
Yes.
Man, so important. Okay, so then he goes on and says, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there was no truth in him. Okay, so... I said, I get into that down here, so I don't want to address that little part there. I'm assuming that, you know, when he's talking about being a murderer, that maybe he's talking about what Cain, and you know, 1 John deals with Cain and Abel a lot. And in this kind of context, folks, this pro-self context, John in 1 John is like really laying it down in that area. Okay, so he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there was no truth in him. All right? So we think of truth in relationship to the kind of and the amount of wisdom we have, right? Okay, so if you go to college and you graduate with a bachelor degree and then you go, hey, man, I'm going to just keep on studying. So you get your master's and then you get your doctorate, you know, and then you can put doctor, have everybody call you Dr. Nussbaum. Do you think that'll ever happen? It's just a continuing developing in the wisdom of this world or the wisdom of Satan. Now, let me make it clear. I believe a person can go to college or kindergarten, and be just fine. I do. I think it's what happens within that or what's happening with you behind your purposes. I used to use an example a long time ago, and it related to the part where Jesus starts talking about two are grinding and one was taken, meaning in the rapture, that's what people refer to. Two were grinding, but only one was taken. And why, And I think the Holy Spirit gave me an example of two different doctors. And they're in school together, and they're going through all their lessons, and they're studying hard and everything. And for all intents and purposes, they basically make the same grade. But which one is God pleased with the most? Just on that, the basis of that information, you can't figure it out. But God looks on the heart, doesn't he? God looketh on the heart. Man looketh on the outward appearance. Outward appearance. God looks upon the heart. So the Lord said to me in that scenario, he said, well, this man over here, he wanted to become a doctor because he lived out in the country and he saw that there was no real hospital, and they saw that the old guy that was a doctor for years and years and years, and he died in his 80s, and then he was gone. And he saw all these people that didn't have anybody to really be there for them and to, help them and to heal them, if you will. But this doctor over here, oh, he wanted to get a big fancy house and a big expensive car, and he wanted everybody to call him doctor, and he wanted to look good, and he wanted to, you understand? And so if God's looking at that, he immediately knows. This guy over here is going to be serving people that he can't get much money from and is not going to get a lot of recognition, but he will have a satisfaction in his heart. Whereas this guy over here, he's in it for the money and the fame and the acclaim and all of that. And even once he gets to be a doctor, he wants to climb the ladder inside of that thing and become somebody, in the top echelon that everybody looks up to. Yes, Kelly?
I think it was in your hypnosis class.
Why don't you come up here, because it just...
Second time through kenosis that you had official glory and glory of nature.
Yeah.
And that was such a great resource for that. You went really into depth in what official glory was, and that's just the same spirit as pro-self, and then the glory of nature being the Lamb in somebody.
Right. Well, and that's the key right there. I mean, that might have been a little while back when I taught that. Official glory and the glory of nature. And when I shared it, I may not have shared it with the full oomph that I feel in relationship to this logic of the world and the logic of God. It could have just looked like, well, if you're with Jesus, you're going to have this. Whereas if you're just seeking the world... But this is so much deeper, because that's why I'm still sharing this stuff in the first fall. Because there's a lot of information coming along the line. But it is my desire, and I feel the influence of the Holy Spirit, that we really, really don't take any of this lightly, because it really is the bottom line of the issue of what's wrong with the world and with us. And we're always going, well, I know I shouldn't have done it, but when I was going out of the classroom, I stole the teacher's pencil. I'm just, But you know what I'm saying. We're focused on those kind of things. That's the, you know, and we go, not only that, well, I lied. Susie came up to me and said, can I borrow some money? And I said, oh, Mom didn't give me even lunch money today, you know. And, you know, you go, oh, I lied too. You know, I'm a bad person. Oh, you don't even know. I didn't get an amen on that one. It got really quiet in here. All right. So, some reason I keep going back to the stuff that I keep reading for you over and over. When I look down at my notes, why won't this move up? Yeah, good point. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my... Oh, now look, I'm quoting that of what we just talked about. Yeah. I'm kidding. Ye are of your father the devil. I'm kidding. But Jesus isn't. So which one are you going to go with? he says, listen to this. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because the truth, there's no truth in him. Now listen to this. If I just leave out the murder part, he was talking about Satan. He was from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there was no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, meaning he speaks of himself. He is a liar and the father of it. Okay. So this is Jesus' indictment against Satan all the way from the beginning. Now, folks, it's been thousands of years that have passed, right? You know? I mean, most people would say, what, 6,000 years, something like that? I don't know. I can't. My watch doesn't keep that much time, but yes.
I have a question.
Okay.
Oh,
wait a minute. Come up here.
You had started in that verse talking about truth, and you went off onto the example of what we think truth is, which is going to university and getting a degree. But could you circle back around and explain what he means by truth in this verse?
Yeah, and I appreciate you saying that because my dear daughter knows that her dad does that and wishes that when she listens to tapes, that go back to what you were going to say. You know. I said, this is the most important thing you'll ever hear in your life. Oh, and I was thinking about... So Mallory's bold in the Lord there to do that. Y'all do it too, okay? Help me not to do that. Okay, well, I actually just hadn't got to that part yet. No. Look. See this red part? It was in my notes. I just hadn't got to it.
Okay, good. Thank you.
That was a fly, not really. Okay. So, it's really, really important we understand these elements. From the beginning, this is Jesus now. We'll get back into the truth part and the other part. But this, you got to grasp this. This is Jesus after thousands and thousands of years on the earth. And when he talks about the devil, he talks about this turning against the way, the truth, the light and moving into darkness of self and self-promotion and all this stuff. Completely the opposite of what God is. Completely the opposite. And you know, that just really moved on me when I saw it, because from the beginning, and then it says he abode not in the truth. This, just look at it. If there's any way to look at this from Jesus' heart, you're realizing that this is the magnitude of the issue to him. It's not, You know, I mean, he came down here and he died for our sins and everything. But, and we'll get into probably next class, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one. Okay, we'll get into that. We'll see that his coming and his death, but more than just his death, his life in us dealt with all of this stuff. But it's not just the cross beams. It's the plan and the mind and the heart and the full clarity of what the issue is, instead of what Christianity has made it, just sins and messing up and, you know, oh, well, I can just ask for forgiveness and live pro-self the rest of my life, you know what I mean? All right, so, and he goes on to say, no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. I think that right there, I think that kind of defines what the truth is. Let's read it again. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of himself. Okay, so he's not saying that he is just walks around going, you know, I got a really nice house, and you know, I worked hard for it, but I pulled myself up by my bootstraps and all this stuff. He's not saying you're just lying about stuff left and right. That's what we think, and probably because we do a fair amount of it. I don't know. But he's saying the lie is he's speaking of himself. That's a lie to God. You don't speak of yourself. The Son glorifies the Father. The Spirit glorifies the Son. The Father glorifies the Son and the Holy Spirit and sends them. They don't send themselves. Amen? No, think about that. And we're hearing this from Jesus talking in the realm of the first fall. So this has got to be powerful to us, this verse 44. It's got to shake us a little bit to say, you're not going to get this with such clarity from anybody else. You get it that from Jesus because he was there. He was there. He was there. We always forget that, you know. He was there. You know, same thing with the book of Jonah, you know. I wonder what God would think of that. Well, he was there. He'd have a better view of that than you and me. Anyway, so here we have Jesus' indictment against the devil. He was a murderer, maybe referring to Cain, whom he pierced. And I think it's more than that. I think it is, you know, if the lie is this, then the piercing or the murder is putting somebody else down so they don't look good so that you look good. Does that make sense? You know, and I mean, that's what the devil's doing. He's accusing everybody to make them look bad, you know, but he thinks that makes him look good. Like, see, everybody looks bad but me. And everybody that he's talking about is going, dude, you're the worst. All right. So then he had the truth but didn't abide in it. Okay. And that's still verse 44, powerful verse, and abode not in the truth. Abode not in it. Folks, he was with God. He was there. He walked upon the stones of fire. You remember all of those scriptures that talk about it. Satan was there. Lucifer was there. And he had it straight from God. And he didn't abide in it. Now, is that going to be important as we get into the different falls? It's going to be hugely important. Hugely. Because you know what's going to happen? Each fall is just going to be a pattern after that first one. Why? Because it's all after the same spirit, the same wisdom. Right? It's almost time to quit, but since y'all were so hungry for this part, I'm going to try to give it. Okay, so He had the truth but didn't abide in it. And I put similar to being a Christian but not living it. Okay. Well, okay. Now, here's how that we translate that. We say, I'm trying to live it. I want to be good. You know, sorry. Mike, stop laughing at me. But we do that. You know, it's like, I'm trying to live it. Well, what are we trying to live? We're trying to live some Christianity thing. That's what's living it. So, you know, you don't go off and smoke over here. You don't unchristian things, whatever they are. That's whatever those unchristian things, you know, I mean, God could look at the devil standing there and you leaning on a lamppost smoking, and he's going to pick the devil as the really bad one every time. You know what I mean? Unless you're sitting there smoking going, aren't I cool? Don't you think I'm cool? Just kidding. All right. So he had the truth, but he didn't abide in it. There was no truth concerning the lamb nature in him. Now, that was his God. That was his creator. Right? That was the logic with which he was made, and he violated it at its core. Okay. There was no truth concerning the lamb nature in him. He chose against it because his wisdom would benefit him, but not God's wisdom. To go with God's wisdom is counterproductive to benefiting you and making you something. That sounds horrible, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Come on, raise your hand. Don't do it. I'd like to believe better things. Okay. And then here we have God's version of speaking a lie, which is declaring yourself. Okay. So when we come back next time, remember, we started talking about that beginning, and I didn't want to I didn't want to jump into that without having the say about what's coming up. So next time we're going to stay in John 8, verse 43 and 44. And if you so desire, you can be reading that and asking the Lord to open your heart and open your eyes and minister life to you, not fear. And because once you begin to see, and then you begin to understand that this is God and this is the way he thinks, once you start doing that, everything else comes from him. It's not like you have to be God. He's not asking you to be God. He's not even asking you to be a super saint. He would like, this is going to get me in trouble, but he probably rather you go over there, lean on that lamppost and smoke a cigarette than come into a church and act like you're something more than what you are. Just be nothing. Let Jesus be your everything. You know what I'm saying? Tomatoes. Okay. Amen. Okay. Anybody feel led to come up here and pray? Come on, Scott. Isaac, I appreciated your prayer last time. I really did.
Father, we just declare to you that we want the reality of these things. Father, not the doctrines of them, not the some kind of a mental understanding of this, Father, but the reality of what this stuff looks like to you, Lord. What it what it does to your kingdom, what it does to your people. Father, we want to know that in such a way, Lord, that we will run the other way every time we see any hint of that in ourselves, Lord, that we will just so turn our hearts to you and hew these things in pieces, Lord, as you have spoken to us in the past, Lord, and we didn't get it, Lord, but we want to get it now. We want to know what it means, Father, to let your life fill us, Lord, and Lord, these things that we've clung to, this the wisdom of the world that we somehow have confused with your wisdom, Lord, with your life. Lord, let us just abandon these things just so quickly, Father, that I don't even have words, Lord, but just let us see them for what they are and run from them, Lord, and run to you. We just want you, Lord. We don't want these things. We don't want to give place to this stuff, Father, that is so poison to your heart and to your spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name.